Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by the Allen Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and today my message is entitled, Protecting Purity. Protecting Purity, and this message is relevant for married folks, it's relevant for single folks, it's relevant for everyone who wants to live a life of purity and righteousness in the sight of God. So join with me in a few moments, but first, let's listen to that wonderful classic hymn, When I Survey. Welcome back. The title of my message today is Protecting Purity. Did you know that purity has a payoff? Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Greek word for pure is katharos, and it has two meanings. The first meaning is clean, and our English word cathartic comes from this Greek word. Now, a cathartic is an agent used by a doctor for the cleansing of the physical system. And a psychiatrist also uses catharsis on the emotional level to cleanse the patient of hostilities and other destructive attitudes. But the word as it is used in the Beatitudes takes the second meaning, namely unmixed or unadulterated or unalloyed. William Barclay puts it this way: blessed is the man whose motives are always entirely unmixed, for that man shall see God. And so the basic idea for us today is that integrity or singleness of heart, as opposed to duplicity or a divided heart, is what we want to seek after. Soren Kierkegaard wrote a book in which he said, purity of the heart is to will one thing. I think that captures well the essence of what it means to be pure. Now we need to beware, as Proverbs chapter 16 verse 2 puts it, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are ultimately weighed by the Lord. And Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It is dangerous for us to consider ourselves pure. Indeed, as Isaiah says, even our best acts are as filthy rags. And so the best thing that we can do is come to God and admit right off the top that we're actually sinners in desperate need of His grace. Once we do that, we can continue to walk with Christ and to pursue wisdom from God alone. Proverbs chapter 3 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, I want to suggest today that we need to protect purity in our lives, not just within our marriages, but even for single folks, within all of our relationships with others. And so what I want to talk about today is the godly woman. Then I want to talk about the godly man. And then I want to close with the godly marriage. Let's start with the godly woman. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Women, please guard your motives at all times. Put simply, beauty is not the end goal. And so our motives in life should not be centered around becoming beautiful on the outside. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 22 says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. And Proverbs 31 verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Oh, how much we obsess these days about our physical appearance. The National Post put out a survey back in December 2010 that said $174 million is really the value of cosmetics and fragrances purchased at major retailers in the month of December. And $89 million is the average monthly sales of cosmetics and fragrances throughout the rest of the year. The Bible tells us that our beauty actually is not based on our outside appearance or by our jewelry or our wardrobe. Proverbs 31 says that the wise woman actually girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And so, to be a woman of purity, we need to guard our motives. We also, however, need to guard our tongues. Proverbs has quite a bit to say about this. It first says to avoid quarreling with our husbands. Proverbs 21 verse 9 and 25 verse 24 says, it is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious or quarrelsome woman. And Proverbs 17 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. If that doesn't make the point clear enough, Proverbs 27 says, a quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of leaky roofs in a rainstorm. Friends, when you're tempted to quarrel with your husband, try something different. In my own life, anytime I'm tempted to quarrel with my husband, I just say these words instead. I say, I love you, Michael. Now, we also have to guard our tongues from nagging, not just quarreling. There's this funny church announcement. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. That church announcement sums up the way some women live their lives. Proverbs 21:19 cautions, though, that it is better to live in a desert than with a contentious and nagging wife. Proverbs 16 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Friends, it's not our role always to nag our husbands. Ladies, I once said to my husband not too long ago, I said, I'm your friend and I'm your lover, but I'm definitely not your mother. And so be wary, women, of nagging your husbands and of being quarreling, or quarrelsome rather, towards them. That's what it looks like to be a godly woman. It's to guard our motives and to guard our tongues. I'd like to change gears now and talk about what it means to be a godly man. For men, the book of Proverbs suggests that the key is to guard your ears and to guard your paths. To guard your ears and to guard your path. Let's start with guarding your ears. It says in Proverbs 7 that with persuasive words she led him astray, and she seduced him with her smooth talk. Gentlemen, if you're listening right now, guard your ears, because the adulterous woman seduces with her words. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Proverbs chapter 5. The lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Do you see the seduction inherent in the words used by the adulterous woman? Gentlemen, if you're listening right now and you want to be a godly man, guard your exchanges with women. If you're texting with a woman and using flirtatious language with her, that needs to stop now. If you're going on Facebook and you're corresponding with a woman who's seducing you over Facebook, that needs to stop yesterday. You need to guard your ears, gentlemen. Now, there's a few lies out there today that we need to expose right now. And the first lie that society tells us is that secrets are sexy. And so having a secret flirtatious relationship with a woman is a sexy thing. But Proverbs 9 says stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, and that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. There's nothing sexy about having a secret fling. There's another lie out there. The lie, put simply, is that there's nothing wrong with having an affair. But Proverbs 30 verse 20 says something contrary to that lie. It says, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. Friends, there's everything wrong with having an affair. And if you find yourself listening right now and you're having an affair on your wife, that needs to stop now in Jesus' name. There's one last lie I want to expose. The lie is, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Proverbs chapter 7 says, come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband's not home. He's gone away on a long journey. And with persuasive words, she led her lover astray. Friends, in this proverb, the woman is saying to the man, come, have an affair with me. It will feel so good. But if that's all we have to go on, we are to be pitied. We don't just act out everything that feels good. We actually seek first the kingdom of God. Now, here's a couple of tips for those of you who are listening from my own life. My husband and I don't go out to coffee with a person of the opposite sex without first telling our spouse. We also don't have a meal with a person of the opposite sex where alcohol is served. It's just that simple. And so, men, you need to guard your ears and be attentive to the lies of society. But, men, you also have to guard your paths. Warren Wiersbe says at some point in life, each of us must decide what is his highest joy. For the thing that delights us directs us. Did you catch that? The thing that delights us directs us. Matthew 6, verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We need to pay attention to our paths. Men, what this means is to pay attention to what we're pursuing in life. The book of Proverbs says, keep a path far from the adulterous woman. Do not go near the door of her house. How often do we like to see how close we can get to that dangerous line? We'll try to walk as close as we can to sin. But God is saying, stay far away, get right off that path, and get on the path towards God. Proverbs 6, verse 27 says, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? Gentlemen, if you're listening right now, get on the path of God and get off of the path that leads to destruction. Let's take a break now and let's listen to that wonderful hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Welcome back. Today we've been talking about protecting purity. And we've been looking at the book of Proverbs for a great deal of help. We've been talking about the godly woman and how she should guard her motives and guard her tongue. Then we looked at godly men and how they should guard their ears and guard their paths. I want to say one more thing about godly men. To be a godly man, it's important that he guard his eyes as well. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24 says, "A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth." And Proverbs 27, verse 20 says, "Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied." Gentlemen, if you're listening right now and your eyes are wandering to the left and to the right, meaning you're married and you're checking out other women, or you're on a date with a Christian woman and your eyes are still straying, pay attention. Psalm 101 verse 3 has a wonderful life principle for men. It says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." And in Psalm 119, the Bible says, "Turn your eyes from worthless things." And so perhaps you say, well, what am I supposed to look at if I'm not looking at the things around me? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 answers that question. It says, "Look unto Jesus." Look unto Jesus. That, gentlemen, is where your eyes should be fixed. Now, I recognize that that is not an easy task. Statistics tell us that porn revenue is now larger than all combined revenues of all professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises. And so it's hard to guard our eyes in a society that relishes in pornography. So let me give you a tip straight from my own marriage. Both my husband and I have installed a wonderful program on our computers. It's called Covenant Eyes. And that's just one of many other types of software. And essentially, it helps to protect our eyes, and it helps us to keep each other accountable concerning what our eyes are looking at on our computers. Gentlemen, if you're listening and you say, "I don't need that," I want you to consider this. Never underestimate your weakness. I'm going to say it again. Do not underestimate your weakness. How often do men overestimate their strength in resisting sin? So, gentlemen, I want to encourage you to guard your ears, to guard your paths, and to guard your eyes. Let Proverbs 7 be the guide your life. It says, "Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye." Okay, we're in the home stretch now. We've talked about the godly woman. We've talked about the godly man. Let's wrap up by talking about the godly marriage. You know, love is not enough to sustain a marriage. You need purity as well. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." Did you know that a recent poll by the Census Bureau of America says that the percentage of married households fell to 48.4% in 2010? Down from 55.2% in 1990. Clearly, marriage is under attack. Now, the Bible gives us some help with how to maintain a healthy and long marriage. What does the Bible suggest to be the key? It says the key to a healthy marriage is friendship. That's right, something as simple as that, friendship. Listen to Song of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 16. "This is my beloved, and this is my friend." There's a funny church announcement that appeared in one church bulletin. It said the following: "Irvin Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days." Are you kidding me? Their friendship ended? No, the friendship should just begin. The friendship should be carried out throughout the whole marriage. Friends, Mark Driscoll teaches well on this topic. And he says at some points in our life, We have a back-to-back marriage, and what that means is we're not talking to each other, and we're at an impasse. He says other times we're shoulder-to-shoulder in our marriages, and what that means is we work well together, we're co-workers, and we labor well, we fix up the house, and we take the kids to soccer. But Mark Driscoll says you want a face-to-face marriage. Not a back-to-back marriage, not a shoulder-to-shoulder marriage, a face-to-face marriage. What that means is a marriage in which you have good face-to-face time. My tip here for you folks is to go out on a date once a week. You must not stop dating once you get married. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a roommate, not a soulmate. So friends, we've learned a lot today about how to protect purity. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation. I hope you'll read the book of Proverbs. You know there's as many Proverbs as there are days in the month. I challenge you to read the whole book of Proverbs this month. And it will teach you how to be godly in all your ways. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is a light unto our feet. And we need you badly this day. We need you to fill our lives with your Holy Spirit, to empower us to live godly lives. For the women listening, help them, Lord, I pray, to be godly in their speech, to not nag their husbands, to not quarrel with their husbands, but to compliment their husbands, to encourage their husbands, to support their husbands. For the men listening, I pray that they would also pursue purity, that they would guard their eyes and guard the paths that their feet walk along. And I pray for every listener who's in a marriage right now. Perhaps a listener right now is in a back-to-back marriage. I pray, God, you'd do a new thing. You'd bring healing to that marriage and turn them around so that they're face-to-face, that they gaze into each other's eyes and love each other. God, we just thank you that your Son makes the way. And we thank you, Lord, that you're making all things new. Amen. Friends, don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it's lived out with integrity and power.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studio.